This reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 35. The narrow door. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, he will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, 'I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen.
Once again, at the beginning of our reading, Luke reminds his readers that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And once again, someone asks him a question as he's journeying. This time the question is, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Now, at the time, there was the assumption that all the Jews were going to be saved. There was no question of Jews going to heaven because they didn't believe in heaven, but they generally believed that being Jewish meant that you were God's chosen people and assured of a good judgment when you died. The question to Jesus possibly comes in response to some unrecorded teaching of Jesus where he says not everyone will be saved. And Jesus backs this up in his response. And it is a response rather than an answer, because Jesus never likes really giving an answer to the question. He likes to come from things from a different angle, and he uses figurative language. And in this way, he gives a story of a door, a narrow door. A narrow door that is difficult to get through. A narrow door that is difficult to get through and that will at some point be shut. And Jesus' exhortation is that you need to put all your efforts into getting through this narrow door. And the word which Jesus uses for the effort needed to enter the door is one that would have been used for the effort exerted by those training for the athletic games of the ancient world. You need to strain every muscle and sinew you have to make sure that you get through this narrow door. Making this entrance required commitment, endurance, discipline. It's an intentional action. The person asking the question probably wanted a nice reassuring answer that everyone was going to be saved. But Jesus emphasizes the difficulty of entering and the importance of making a decision to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus, in his ministry, has been holding open this narrow door to the kingdom, and he has been urging people to enter it. The door is not very wide, and it will take energy and commitment to get through, but Jesus is letting people know exactly where it is. It's not a secret. But he's also saying that one day this door is going to shut. One day it will be too late to get through the door. It's a warning. It's a warning then, and it was a warning now. And when Jesus talks in verses 34 to 35 of his lament for Jerusalem, he's showing his compassion for Jerusalem then, but he's showing that there will be this point in the future where the door will be shut. He likens himself to a hen who wants to gather her chicks to her wings. But he says that these chicks have rejected the hen's advances. And that he says Jerusalem is like that with him. Jerusalem has rejected him. Returning to Jesus' response to his questioner, he says those who are excluded by the shut door will cry out at that time for it to be open, saying that they ate and drank and heard the teaching of the master, but the master in return will say they did not know him. And those who wail and gnash their teeth in frustration will want to be entering and joining with those pillars of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they will not be able to. The words of Jesus can seem sharp and exclusive up until this point, as if he's inviting people to some select after-hours drinks party. But then he reveals the true nature of the banquet that is behind the narrow door. It will be a feast for people gathered from all points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. It will be a banquet for all. The image of the banquet here resonates with the words of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. This is what the feast of the kingdom will look like. A glorious and wondrous place. A place where there is welcome for all who accept the invite. And Jesus will carry on preaching this message of the kingdom, even if Herod, as it is said in this passage, is out to get him. And some friendly Pharisees, a rare occurrence in Luke's gospel, tell him this. Jesus knows his mission is important. He knows he needs to carry on, even to the point of death, proclaiming this message. Jesus' words to the person who asked the question would have felt like a slap in the face. It would have been like getting to an airport 5 hours early for check-in, having a priority seat on the plane guaranteed, and then being told once you'd boarded the plane that there was no longer a seat for you, and you're going to have to get off and wait for another plane. Or told that there wasn't going to be another plane, in fact. The Jewish people at the time believed that they were God's chosen people, and that status gave them a guaranteed pass to salvation. And Jesus comes along and says, in the new kingdom, there's another stage to go. And even worse, people from the north, south, east, and west, they were going to be there as well. Salvation was not going to be only for the Jews. The exclusive deal had become a free-for-all. Yet that was the reality of the kingdom that Jesus came to announce. The old was out and the new was in, and in with the new was an invitation for everyone. But the invitation for everyone meant that passage was through a specific route. There was and is only one way. There was a bottleneck on the way to salvation, a narrow door. Jesus. Jesus in John's Gospel describes himself as the way that the sheep enter their pen. And this manner of entrance is usually rendered in our Bibles as a gate. But a more accurate translation is a door. The way into the kingdom of God is through Jesus and only through Jesus. All the wide spectrum of humanity, if they choose, can be funneled down through the person of Jesus and enter into the feast of the kingdom. It can seem an exclusive route to salvation, and it is, but it's also an incredibly inclusive route through the narrow door. Jesus says there will be people from north, south, east, and west, and you don't get much more broad-ranging than that. The way is exclusive, but the invitation is always inclusive. And that is it to be at the heart of our gospel proclamation today. The invitation to join in the new kingdom party is for everyone, but the only way to come is through Jesus. The image Jesus gives us is of a party where everyone is welcomed, and that's the kind of life we are to invite others to embrace as followers of Jesus. It's an exciting life, a party kind of life. So maybe we need to make sure we don't make it sound too miserable when we share the gospel, which has often been the way for Christians. We try and depress people into following Jesus rather than inspiring or exciting them. With the image that Jesus presents of the narrow door, there is also a now but not yet aspect. The way Jesus presents the image of the narrow door is that it is an invitation for all to enter through and join in the party now. This is not an image of something we need to wait for until we die to experience. The narrow door is the entrance to life in God's kingdom, and kingdom living starts now and extends beyond death. The new kingdom life is life plus. Our gospel invitation is not just an invitation to life after death. It's an invitation to new life that starts now and extends through death. It is always Jesus we should share through with people, because new life begins with Jesus. It is in a living encounter with Jesus that people will come to find new life, not through a list of facts or doctrines or behaviours, but through the person of Jesus, the one who declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And the final aspect I think that our reading picks up on is the urgency of passing through the narrow door. I know I seem to be good at putting off to tomorrow what I could be doing today. I look at something and think, well, I can do that on my day off. I'll leave it till then. Or I can leave that till things quieten down a bit. But by the time my day off comes, I've got a list of things to do that's as long as my arm, and things never quieten down. It was Benjamin Franklin, always a source of good quotes, who first recorded of saying, "Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today." But it's also, in essence, what Jesus is saying here about going through the narrow door. He says, the narrow door is here. And now, in me, in my ministry, here is your chance to go through it. Take that chance, because you never know whether that opportunity will continue to be there. Life is finite for humans. However much we may want those we love to live forever, it will not happen. Part of my Bible reading on Thursday was this: our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Jesus' invitation to enter through the narrow door is there for all of us today to accept. Jesus' invitation to enter through the narrow door is there for our family, our friends, our neighbours today to accept.
They just need to go through the narrow door.
As I was going through the file where I knew a copy of my mum's will was, I found this. It's her baptismal certificate. She kept it with all the most important documents for her life, her birth certificate, her marriage certificate, and it's from the 30th of April, 1950. She was 14. And in my sadness, I'm reassured that she walked through the narrow door with Jesus and carried on walking with him in quiet faith and still walks on with him.
In the last book of the Bible, there is a promise.
Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me.
There are many ways of speaking about starting a new life as a Christian.
Becoming a Christian, giving our life to Christ, receiving Christ, inviting Jesus into our lives, believing in him, opening the door to Jesus, all sorts of ways. And all of them describe the same reality, that Jesus enters into our life and we enter into the life of Jesus.
And for many, this picture on the screen, it's a bit dim, but it's a powerful representation, that choice.
The Pre-Raphaelite artist Holman Hunt, inspired by this verse of the Bible, painted this picture, the light of the world.
And there are three versions of it, and this one hangs in Keble College in Oxford.
And the paintings at the time were not favourably received by the critics.
But over time they became more popular and, more importantly, better understood in terms of their symbolism.
Jesus, the light of the world, stands at the door. But the door is overgrown with ivy and weeds.
But the door represents someone's life. It's not a direct correlation to our reading this morning, but
there is something similar there. And this person that this door represents has never invited Jesus into their lives.
Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. He's waiting for a response.
He wants them to come in and be part of that person's life. On one occasion, someone said to Holman Hunt that he'd made a mistake in his painting. They told him, "You've forgotten to paint a handle on the door."
"Oh no," replied Hunt, "that's deliberate. There's only one handle, and that's on the inside."
In other words, we have to open the door to let Jesus in. Jesus will never force his way in. He gives us the freedom to choose.
It's up to us whether or not we will open the door to him. If we do, he promises, "I will come in and eat with them and they with me."
And eating together is a sign of friendship and intimacy that Jesus offers us in our lives. Eating is a sign of that great feast of the kingdom. In terms of our reading this morning, there is a narrow door ready for all of us to walk through.
Jesus showing us the way, Jesus waiting for us on the other side in terms of this reading. The door is open for all, and we just need to choose to step through and enter into a life of endless wonder. May we all find the faith to make that journey and join in the feast. Let's pray. Jesus, opener of the door to the kingdom, may we walk through and join in your feast and your future. Amen.